chiropractors, masseuses, training staff, getting in the pools, and just doing whatever you can to get yourself ready. Everyone has to do this, you know, throughout the year. I don't think anybody really likes it except for the NFL and all the money that they make.
Whammy. Bing bong.
Oh.
Big Ben.
Again.
Have you started using Bing bong yet?
Not a chance. Arthur? Nope.
Would you like to get on the Bing bong train?
There's a strong possibility I would not like to get on that.
Bing bong.
Thank you, Malzi.
Donnie, would you like to just throw in a football guy a deep bing bong for us?
Bing bong.
I love it. I love it.
Get into Roethlisberger in a second on the Thursday game. But first, I have a question for Arthur. We rely on his expertise here. He's brought to you by Parks Casino. Must be 21, gambling problem. Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Hayden having this lingering injury. I honestly did not expect that he would play in this game after missing Sunday because there's no time to test it in practice with what the Thursday schedule demands out of teams.
You can only really lose players from a Sunday to a Thursday turnaround. Yeah. You can't really gain them.
But I think about putting myself in a player like Joe Hayden's shoes. And so I just wonder this, and I want to know if it's really part of an NFL player's, a veteran player's thought process, right?
Okay.
He's going to go into free agency. He's done after this year with the Steelers. He's already expressed through his agent and through media reports a desire to keep playing football beyond this year. If I were him, I would think to myself, this team might want me back out there at 75%. Because at 75%, I'm better than James Pierre, who's been benched, or Akello Witherspoon, who's probably now going to get way more playing time again in this game against Minnesota. But that's not what's best for me going into free agency next year. And I could understand that this would be not a rare situation, but a unique one, where if Hayden had been given a contract extension by the Steelers this offseason, he might be playing right now. But he's not, and I'm saying if I put myself in his shoes, I really can't, if that is part of the decision-making process here, I wouldn't be able to blame him for that.
I'll say this. First off, that is speculation. So let's just throw that out there first off. But secondly, we don't fault anybody that does that, not even just a Pittsburgh thing. We always say, what is the team going to do? They're going to operate in a business-like manner. Meaning, if you go out there less than 100%
and suck,
what are we going to talk about? They're going to say, hey, you didn't play up to, you know, the expectations we released you. We can go down the list of countless guys who've played while injured, even here in Pittsburgh. And even though the play wasn't up to standard, nobody cared about that. We looked at the contract. We looked at the numbers. And ultimately, those guys did not get compensated to that same level going forward. So if you are Joe Hayden and you understand the circumstances, you understand the business, which he does. Yeah, why would you go out there if you're not 100%? If you're not 100% healthy, if you're not 100% healthy, why would you go out there? Because less about this year, less about is Pittsburgh going to re-sign you? What if you go out there and you put bad tape out there because you're playing at 75%?
Bad tape, exactly.
Nobody's going that now. You know what they're going to say? League wide?
Oh,
he's
old.
He's washed. He's washed. So why would you put yourself out there? But the reason you have to combat that mentally is because you're going to get the fans, you're going to get the coaching staff, you're going to get a GM, and they're going to push that on you. They're going to say, hey, man, we need you back out there. Hey, man, we're trying to make a run here. Hey, you know, we can
So
help
the coaches
you.
And GM would actually do that.
Yeah, they would. And
I mean, fans are one thing.
But that's anywhere.
You expect
anywhere,
the fans.
That's anywhere, though, because at the end of the day, the coach's job is linked to those players' performance.
That's unfair to the player because the coaches are trying to have both ways. And the GM, too.
Yeah, but
if we put you out there and you suck, well, we're going to point that out and not bring you back, but we also need you out there.
Absolutely.
Like, I would not.
But that's why you have to find certain players who are confident enough, have been paid enough, so they can stand up in a situation
Chris, think
like
about this.
Well, I think the interesting thing quickly here, Pony, before you get to that, about if he's looking at other teams, the Steelers we know famously or infamously only guarantee 1 year, unless it's T.J. Watt, right? If it's a non-quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Other teams don't have that policy. So if you're Joe Hayden thinking about another quarterback or cornerback needy team and you want to save yourself there, you might be saving yourself 2 guaranteed years because they don't have the Steelers policy.
You bring up T.J. Watt. If the Steelers played hardball with him, never give him the guaranteed money, never give him the contract extension, you saw what he looked like against the Packers in the second Bengals game. If he doesn't have that guaranteed money, I'm not sure he plays in either one of those games because of exactly what Arthur's talking about. When they decided this offseason, Hayden says, hey, I want a contract extension. They say, no, we're good. This is the type of situation that you were courting, that you might get in a spot with him where he's dinged up, and he's like, man, I'm not risking my future career for you, nor should he.
Well, and I was saying at this stage in his career, it is his NFL life that is on the line, sure, right here, because at that age, at that position, you're talking 2 to 3 years more. Best case, right? In terms of
a lot of guys are done
end
at this age already.
Absolutely. So, yeah, you absolutely have to think of it that way, in the sense of, if I go out there and I'm compromised and I make it worse, or my tape doesn't look like what it needs to look like, man, this
say
could drastically change what I'm looking like
ACL
next year.
Say anything. Like he comes out and, you know, we always hear about guys, if you're not going 100% or mm-hmm. if you're trying to protect yourself, you're at more risk of an injury.
Yeah, because you'll overwork other parts
right
of your body. Yeah.
He tears an ACL. That next year is already gone
mm-hmm.
because of the recovery timetable. The only thing that makes it, and you know, you both know me pretty well here, I am never on the team side or the management side of these equations. I will pretty much support the player.
You love the proletariat.
Up to and including, despite all of my ripping of Ben when I feel like he's playing poorly, I have always been steadfast that he deserves to take every dime he can.
You are labor first.
Every dime he can.
You're pretty consistent
the with
the labor with first mantra, yes.
I'd like to believe that. The only thing I'll say in the Steelers' case is, because I think you're right about Hayden here, not wanting to risk the potential future bag, it makes sense to me that they would have gambled and not given him a deal because of the age he's at and the position he plays. Because we do know, I don't think he's been like awesome this year. I think it's relative to the other corners on this team. He obviously looks like the best. We know at that position that you lose a half step, three quarters of a step, it shows up badly on tape.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't show up like a little bit like, oh, he's out of position here. It's Jamar Chase is running by you or something like that and catching a ball like you're his little brother.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that happened to James Pierre, both of those examples against two different Bengals receivers. I'm piling on a little bit, but that's why from their perspective it makes sense. They rolled the dice and lost. Like that's my point.
I think Sunday's game was the first in a while that they had lost, I want to believe, 7 games in a row without Hayden in the lineup. Going back to last
sense
year.
It also got, makes sense that
they
that
got
would
killed
be the,
in the playoff game without him.
It also makes
against
sense
his old team
that that would be the team that they would beat because Lamar has been having such a hell of a time throwing
I
the
just
ball.
Think they're in a really weird. I'm happy we're having this conversation now. We'll get to the Ben stuff later. I think that this is actually a really tricky situation for the Steelers, and what they do with Joe Hayden will tip their hand about what they're really trying to do next year minus Roethlisberger. Because given what you're saying about their depth chart at corner and the way the salary cap's going up, mm-hmm. there's a real case, I think, to franchise tag him.
What are the numbers on the tag, though?
That's
what I don't know yet.
But with the cap going up and mm-hmm. with Roethlisberger's contract coming off the books, they've got more cap space and more money than they usually have.
If they don't bring him back, I mean, they're not trying to win.
But what are their alternatives? You bring in another corner in free agency? Okay, fine. That's an option. Are you going to draft a guy in the first round? Probably not. And if you do, can you really count on him to produce from the very beginning? That is the one position where early picks for them almost ever pan out.
They struggle.
They find guys later in the draft or undrafted better than they do when they use premium picks on them.
Yeah, but I got to be honest. The whole James Pierre's an undrafted diamond in the rough is looking worse and
but
worse with every passing week.
If you look
week
at next just year saying as like, we're going to start off with a new quarterback, going to be a different-looking Steelers team, well, this is something that maybe you don't care as much about, or you wouldn't want to put a lot of money into a player in his 30s.
Well, the interesting thing about that comparison, though, is, and I don't know if there's an analog on the Patriots because I don't think any of their corners are this old. Look what they did. I mean, 1 year down, they have Mac Jones. They get the guy it seems like they wanted, or they were
cut Gilmore.
Yeah. They cut Gilmore. Yeah.
Well, no, they traded him. Carolina.
Yeah, that's right. There was a report that he got cut, and then they traded him for like pennies.
Just more mm-hmm. more chess when everyone's playing
checkers. Yen on the dollar, pesos on the dollar.
By Matt Rule. Anyway, but they had clearly a team they still really liked around Mac Jones, and now you're seeing it borne out with winning 7 in a row, what have you.
Can I tell you?
I think that's how the Steelers believe themselves to be, that if they have a new quarterback, rookie or whatever, that's going to start day one the way Mac Jones did. Oh, we're going to put a team and an infrastructure around this guy, which is what you should do if you think you've got the man.
Right.
You should do that. That's just smart business. And then I guess you try to bring Hayden back on something that works for both sides to sort of soften the blow, but I don't knowing think he, that you've got to find replacements.
I have a hard time thinking they're going to make him a long-term offer.
What would
that
you
is
give him,
better than what the other 31 teams might be able to give him. So that's why I'm thinking the only way you actually keep him is if you gave him the franchise tag.
The Darrell Revis, like, mercenary, one-year deal after one-year deal.
Yeah, because in a sense, I mean, we are starving for a corner, but I don't think that they would be as interested in paying him what he would want for the length that he would want at his particular age right now, where we might be looking at a hard reset, right, depending on the situation at quarterback and things like that. So with that being the case, I could see it going multiple ways. I could see them drafting a guy higher up in terms of, you know, second-round picks. I do think first-round probably go
offense.
Earmarked
for a quarterback.
I feel like
offensive lineman.
Offensive lineman, quarterback, or depending on what the inside linebacker situation looks like, you might even see that.
Yep.
So I do feel like those—
They love their linebackers in the first round.
They would see a
they,
first
You
round.
Know they will.
Yeah.
This is what the Steelers do. It doesn't matter how they— Hey, is the linebacker available? You know, just take them anyways. That's what they do. So with that being the case, I could either see them drafting a guy in that second or third round or spend a little bit of money in the free agency part because they will have a little bit more this offseason. And if they truly believe in guys like Cam Sutton, guys like James Pierre, who are cheap, younger guys, well, you can go out there and maybe pay a little bit more for a free agent.
Donnie, what do you think? Would you franchise tag Hayden?
I don't think it's a bad idea. I mean, I don't know. Who else on the roster do you think could be?
A number one corner?
There isn't anybody.
Well, no, I mean,
who's like franchise
I mean, who
tag
else do you
worthy?
Think could be franchise tag worthy, yes.
Because yeah, you went and tagged Juju. You're not tagging.
I'm trying to.
Minka's got another year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you win it, you don't have to worry about tagging him.
I mean, there's no name that jumps
That's
out.
What I mean. There's really only one candidate for it.
They do like exerting that control that things like the franchise tag give you. Yeah. They definitely like that.
And Hayden would do, I think, what most guys do, and he would do the Le'Veon Bell, I'll show up the week before the first game thing. And I wouldn't blame him for that either.
I was going to say,
nothing wrong with that either.
That's business.
Hey, we can all be great business professionals out here.
Do you think it's gotten better since you came into the league, like the general, not that you're paying attention to what the hoi polloi are out there saying about contracts, right?
No, it's more socially acceptable.
Do you think fans have gotten more hip to the idea that the teams are not everybody's best friends,
yes.
even though they know that they want the team to win, that you guys got
to
look out for yourselves?
To an extent, but I would still say it's probably 60-40, 70-30.
God, that's better than like 10 years ago.
No,
it was
seriously,
like 90-10.
Yeah, 10 years ago was drastically lopsided. Now it's a little bit more reasonable, but still at the end of the day, we know people are siding with the team, always.
Do you think that players are more educated on this stuff than they were before?
Yes, because of social media. Because now you might have had a guy doing this in the past, but if you weren't a part of that team, you didn't know all the ins and outs of it. You didn't know, you know, what you were allotted in terms of using leverage in some of these situations. Whereas now, the L. Bell scenario, but I'll take it before L. Bell, Cam Chancellor, Marshawn Lynch, what was the other, Bennett, out there in Seattle. Some of the things that they were doing in terms of how they could negotiate a new contract, hold out a little bit, use that leverage, and we saw how they were getting rewarded. Well, I know league-wide, a lot of us looked at it and said, okay, well, that's something that we never thought of before. But we don't see that if that's not available to us through social media and stuff like that.
Text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. Well, speaking of business decisions, a huge one just got made in college football with the NFL in mind. Breaking news and something that might affect the decision that Kenny Pickett's going to make for the Peach Bowl. You like peaches, boys?
Never been a huge fan, got to be honest.
I like them. I like a ripe peach.
Where you get your peaches from, down in Georgia?
Yeah, what are the special, Mackinac peaches or something?
Why does Georgia have the market cornered on peaches?
I don't know.
No other state? What is it? Idaho potatoes,
yeah,
Georgia peaches?
Just, you like, know, is it certain places? Like, where are you getting that peach from? Is it an East Coast peach? Is it a West Coast peach?
I think everybody's got
Washington apples? What are we doing?
Like, you don't call it Montana clam chowder.
What are we doing over here? Huh?
Fries on salad.
We're coleslaw. Yeah, big coleslaw people.
Kielbasa.
Headline time, Donnie.
Okay, didn't go to that New Year's Day bowl, but it's going to go to a New Year's Eve bowl at least with a big payout for the school, and I'm sure that brings a smile to the face of Heather Lake. Final knee. That's the end of the game. The Panthers are ACC champions, and they pulled away like the champions they are.
Hail to Pitt.
I don't know why Bostic's little
They are very good about hail making sure to get the hail to Pitt in there.
But it's like mandatory.
His little pop-ins to Billy's calls from that ACC championship game are entertaining.
Do you know of any other
today.
Schools that do like the sign-off like that? So Narduzzi will do it.
Go Tigers.
I like that one better because you know, Coach O. Like Penn State does a lot of arrogant things.
What
I think.
Is Brian Kelly? Go Tigers.
Yeah.
Go Tigers, y'all.
Oh, dad gonna go y'all. Tigers.
Is Brian Kelly looking in a mirror right now and practicing his dadgummits? Dadgummit.
So how much of a Southern accent?
Doggone it.
You grew up Tidewater area.
Dadgummit.
I don't have a Southern accent.
But how many people down there? Like what percentage? Because that's like you're south of the Mason-Dixon line. You're getting
you're not south, are you?
Yeah, we are. Yeah,
you consider yourself a Southerner.
So how
we're
what
south
percentage
of the Mason-Dixon? Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's what divide the South at. Yeah.
What percentage of people you grew up with would you say had a noticeable Southern accent?
Where I was at.
Like, are they hearing Brian Kelly in Virginia Beach and going, what the hell is up with this clown?
Now, when you start we're doing that in Pittsburgh. We don't have a Southern accent.
When you start
accent.
Getting to, like, North Carolina, now,
then they're like, really, what the hell?
That's when you get, like, that type of twang and stuff.
Do you think there was buyer's regret, guys, at LSU when they saw him come out and just do the most, like, pathetic, obvious put-on?
I think there was, like, oh, bless his heart. You know, like,
he's trying to be one of us.
Yeah. Right now, there's that.
Like, now, do you think, like, man, this is just a delicious bite of pecan pie.
Now, if they lose to Louisiana Lafayette in September, I think they'll be
you
like,
know
see,
I'll be rooting for it.
Going back to that Yankee scene at the basketball game, I knew we had a Trojan horse in here.
Coach O won the Natty how many years ago? I mean, they ain't going to take
long. Then he hit on, like, the school president's wife at a gas station.
I don't care about any of that. He won a Natty.
He wasn't really a very good coach, though, in the end.
Right? But he won an Natty, though.
Oh, no, I know.
But typically, it's like you win an Natty.
I mean, Barry Switzer won a Super Bowl.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying, man.
Gene Chizik won a national championship on Cam Newton's arm and I think was fired the next year.
I think that's the all-time example. He's like, did you win this or did that guy win this?
437 brought to you by Living Treasures Animal Park. Take a walk on the wild side. Breaking news today, if you're getting in your car, the projected number one overall pick in the NFL draft, Kayvon Thibodeau, has declared for the draft, Oregon pass rusher, and he has said, peace out. I will not be playing in the, I think it might be the Alamo Bowl. Remember the Alamo?
I
no,
do remember
thank you.
The Alamo.
Kayvon doesn't, because he ain't playing in it.
He will not be going to the Riverwalk in San Antonio. He'll be going to Indianapolis for the Combine instead. So if the number one projected overall pick is doing this, how about the number one projected quarterback, according to guys like Todd McShay and Mel Kiper, Kenny Pickett, on the heels of the news today that now his offensive coordinator is out for this game? Mark Whipple is done for family reasons.
I'll kick it around. We'll roundtable this for a second since
this
is
the point
a roundtable Tuesday.
Yes, with Arthur Motes.
I just wanted to get a roundtable Tuesday.
Former Steeler analyst. And Donnie Football on the ones and twos.
Yeah, I just wanted to get a roundtable Tuesday.
Nice reset. Our boss is here. He likes when we do that, I think.
Well, he's not here. He actually left. He's in his car, I think, listening.
He's doing, like, boss stuff now.
Yeah. Where do you guys think Kenny Pickett is? Do you feel like right now he is the first quarterback off the board in principle? Like,
not,
when you take the. When
not
you take
like
the
Trevor Lawrence was. Like, I think it's still.
When you take the aggregate of mocks, I have seen him mentioned first or second pretty much every time quarterbacks.
Yeah, I don't think it's like a done deal that he's the first quarterback.
And I've
taken.
Rarely seen him past, like, in anyone's mocks past 20. It's usually by 15 he's gone.
Even though I think he's either first or second quarterback taken, I don't think we view this quarterback class
slam dunk number
like
one guy
how
right.
it was in the past.
Right. Okay, like he said the
they're
thing.
Saying maybe no top 10 picks
okay.
on a quarterback.
So,
whereas
so,
a year ago, I mean, how many guys were going to the top? The past
we knew
two,
Lawrence
years,
was number one and then we knew 20. And right. we knew there was going to be four more guys gone. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me ask you guys this. That's why I bring this up. We know this much about Michigan State. They are a wretched, worst in the country pass defense. How
by
much,
the numbers, that is not hyperbole.
No, they literally are the worst in the United States.
I just wanted
States.
People to know that. You're right. Go on. You've done your homework.
Occasionally, Malzi does.
Was this Yard Barker or just?
Osmosis. I just was out there, you know, taking it all in.
Osmosis.
Just taking it all in. Just letting the information soak in the old big brain here. Do either of you, or Donnie Football, do any of you think that he benefits by playing without his coordinator, but let's just say that there's enough continuity there that he hypothetically puts up big numbers in that game, 400-plus yards, 5 touchdowns, makes them look every bit the worst passing defense in the league or in the country against a Heisman, you know, finalist. Does that tangibly help him in the eyes of scouts? Or do they say, well, wait a minute, of course you were going to put up monster numbers. Those guys suck at this. Like, that's what that's the value judgment I'm having a hard time making here. Does it really benefit him to go in against a horrible opponent and just put up video game stats? Or does everyone just look at that and say, well, yeah, you're supposed to?
I look at it a couple ways, actually. In terms of, is he putting up video game numbers and people are saying you're supposed to? Well, I know me, when I watch guys in terms of mismatch opponents, stuff like that, you got to make it look like that. Because how many times have we seen players come out there, it should be a mismatch on paper. They should come out there and play at a high level, but they don't. So that would be the first thing. If he were to play in that game, I want to see, hey, okay, can you live
you
up to that?
It.
Can you do it? Because if you don't do that, it's going to look bad on you. But
when Sam Howell was the number one guy preseason this year, like thought he'd be the number one guy off the board, he wasn't doing it early on. They lose to Virginia Tech. I was like, oh, my God. Spencer Rattler gets
He's
benched. You're like, holy crap, man.
Yep.
What's
Absolutely.
Happening
Because
with this
those
guy?
Are games where you expected them to just light it up, and for whatever reason, they didn't.
Sure.
So that part of me is like, man, all right. I can see why he might not want to, but at the same time, I can see why he would want to as well in terms of you got the camaraderie, right? It's something about when you're playing at a school, a university for multiple years, like how he has, you do have those attachments. And I understand your coordinator isn't there, but your head coach is. And I do think that that plays a role in that as well in terms of his decision. But at the end, how much does it benefit him? Maybe you're talking about a couple of slots
in
the draft.
Does it benefit him more? Okay, then
that's what I'm saying.
I
think it would benefit him a couple of slots in the draft, but he would
still have to go out
there and play nice.
What about versus doing the combine workouts and getting himself ready for that
grind?
See,
I'm not a fan of the combine stuff because I personally don't think that that applies to what you're actually going to be doing on game day. That's why we bring up the Zach Wilson throw, and media people were fawning over it. Oh, look, he rolled this way, threw it this way. Oh, my God.
He looks like a 16-year-old who hasn't been to homecoming yet. Don't worry about it.
But it's like, okay, cool, but in a game, that's not going to work.
Sure.
In a game, and that's why, like, combines, pro days, I've never been a fan of them. Now, part of that for me was because I know, okay, my numbers playing are going to look great. I knew I was going to test well, but I wasn't going to pass your quote-unquote eyeball test for my position in terms of height, weight, measurables.
Do NFL scouts, because this is not the same for Thibodeau because he's a defensive end, he's an edge rusher, and fair or not, it doesn't have the same connotation. Because Kenny Pickett's a quarterback and leadership and intangibles are so important at that position at the next level, do scouts watch a guy who's like, I'm staying with the ship here for one more game
to an
and
extent,
say that
to
tells
extent,
us something?
To an extent, yes, but
I think
big
less
picture,
than they used
it
to.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
I don't think it bothers them the way they used to.
Well, here's the example of why if you put too much stock in that, you might end up with a dud is Baker Mayfield. I remember the PFF guys who are all about numbers and analytics said, we loved him. We thought his college like game film was great by our metrics. They also said it's impossible to ignore that his intangibles are off the charts. His teammates love him. No, dude, this was
fiery leader. Look at when he planted the flag.
This stuff was written about him that they said, we don't usually traffic in this, but his intangibles are so off the charts you have to mention them. And then look what happened.
I was stunned when Pickett came out right after the game and said, I'm playing in the bowl. Because I would think that's a decision. Now, maybe he's thought about it all year, the prospect of what are you going to do after the regular season ends. So he had
an answer ready to go,
but I have just thought with him all along that the goal was to win the ACC championship, and once you did, mission accomplished.
Right. Unless you're in the college football playoffs.
Yeah,
somehow.
I mean, that's
yeah.
right. College football playoffs changes everything.
So I was surprised that he said, I'm going to come and play. Now, I also thought maybe he was thinking from everything he had seen online, we're going to play Notre Dame. That's the school I grew up rooting for. It's not about my draft prospect. It's like that's something I want to do. I want to play against that team because it has some kind of special meaning to me. Mm-hmm. I don't really see how Michigan State, because Narduzzi was there 7 or 8 years ago, like that just does not.
Well, he does get the head-to-head, though, a little bit, in terms of Kenny versus Kenneth, was it Kenneth Walker?
Kenneth
there,
Walker.
Right? Yeah.
But, man.
Notre Dame would have a different kind of sex appeal type thing.
Because of name recognition.
But think about. Yeah. Last year in one of these games that was a big bowl game but wasn't a national championship college football playoff, Florida had Kyle Pitts sit out, Kadarius Toney sit out against Oklahoma. Both of those guys were first-round picks. Trask decided to play, and I think he threw 4 interceptions in the first half. Like, he said, I'm the guy. Like, I rose from walk-on to starter. I'm going to be an NFL quarterback. I don't care. I want to put this uniform on one more time. And he wasn't good. And I don't think that, to be fair, I don't think that, like, his performance in that game is why he wasn't a first-round pick. But my thing, if Kenny Pickett were my son, I could see myself saying, unless you think it's really important for you on like a emotional level to finish out the season with these guys and these teammates, because you'll never have that opportunity again, do it. But if you're going to look at this from a strictly black and white business decision, don't play.
I don't think the teammates
either. It's hard to do that in a vacuum and just say it's only about the money for someone who came back to school this year, Chris. Yeah.
And that's the thing, because he had the option to already make this move. Now, granted, well, it paid off because it was a lot more money associated with him when he came back. But still, I mean, he had, if he was going to play it the safe route.
See, to me, you say, Pony, it's not easy to make that in a vacuum and say it's all about the money because he came back. I think because he came back into what Arthur just said, made himself all this extra money, he's going to be a first-round pick. Do we have any disagreement in the room here?
I mean, unless something
seismic,
cataclysmic happens in his interviews.
How
with
big
teams
are his hands?
Stuff.
That's the big
question. They're not
big.
They're not even going to care about that.
I got bigger hands than him, unfortunately.
They're not even going to care about that. He's going to be a first-round pick unless he says, yeah.
He'd Pony have to do something catastrophic.
Right. Yeah. So if you have made yourself that much more money, and you know this well, how much more money those first-round guys get, that fifth year, all that stuff, you have, by coming back, made all this money. If you're his parents, you say, why would you risk that for one game? Not one guy in that room is going to look at you as less of a teammate because you just put them on your back to something that is going to have that class of players, that team, live in Pitt legacy and lore.
Do you remember when Pitt played, I think it was Stanford, and it was Stanford in the Sun Bowl? And
how could anyone forget Pitt in a Sun Bowl?
And McCaffrey decided that he wasn't going to play.
Yep.
And David Shaw told the story where he, the week of the bowl game, went in front of his teammates and said, I'm going to concentrate on the draft. I'm going to forego this game. And he said that like his entire team gave him a standing ovation. That it wasn't like, you're quitting on us.
Like, they were making the right decision.
They were,
you're making the right decision.
They're Stanford guys.
Yeah.
Go get it, basically.
No, 100%. Kenny Pickett,
Kenny Pickett would get the exact same thing. And I think Pat Narduzzi's savvy enough to know that you support that guy through and through. Franklin has always been good about this. Whenever his guys think about leaving early, he's always like, go. Like, I want to be seen as a guy that puts people in the NFL. Pat Narduzzi would support him. The players would. No one's gonna fault the guy for saying, I'm planning on playing in the immediate afterglow, and then thinking about it and saying, wait a minute.
Follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan, driven by Jim Shorkey, Kia, Wexner, North Huntington, Uniontown. Arthur Motes in with us. Before Arthur leaves in a few minutes, my wife has a question for him.
Oh. Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. I wonder if she heard you say that you went over the Christmas limit, and now it's a Christmas question.
I am
going to
do something very self-indulgent. And
are you putting Amanda on the air?
No, oh, no.
That's only for my solo shows.
Only for when Mueller's bored on a Saturday and wants to have my wife on to rip me, which is, I think, happened more than once.